This podcast version of Soul to Soul has been altered from the original broadcast version.
Et le jour est venu quand le risque a resté fortement dans un bourgeon était plus douloureux que le risque qu'il a pris à la fleur.
In today's episode of Soul to Soul, we feature the first part of a two-part special entitled Where Science and Buddhism Meet.
We also feature messages from Liara, Joni, and the PS.
We also hear from Sue Nicholson, and we hear about a new Soul to Soul special airing next week.
Not to mention a range of inspired musical frequencies penned by the late, great John Lennon.
So join us as we enter the realms of the soul.
Let's begin with this inspired interpretation of a John Lennon song from REM. This is their version of the number 9 dream. You're experiencing Soul to Soul on 98.7 RPPFM.
Soul to Soul are now pleased to present part one of a two-part series by Joseph Yeo called Where Science and Buddhism Meet.
There seem to be strong parallels between the Buddhist and scientific way of perceiving and understanding reality. While these ideas are not exclusively Buddhist, but rather can be found in most ancient Eastern thought, Buddhism seems to resonate quite harmoniously with these latest scientific discoveries. I wish to illustrate these ideas by first going over three main tenets of Buddhism: emptiness, interconnectivity, and the nature of reality, and then drawing the parallels of these ideas with modern scientific understanding. The premise of this video is the belief that these two seemingly opposite modes of perception, non-material and material, intuitive and rationalistic, spiritual and scientific, are actually two ways of understanding one reality, two sides of the same coin. A very important thing to keep in mind while watching this is that there lies a large discrepancy between how we perceive reality and how reality actually exists. Emptiness is that in which all arises and returns from. Buddha said that reality arises from emptiness, a non-dual and infinite source. For instance, the chair you're sitting on, the computer you're looking at, and even your body is arising in this moment from emptiness. To better illustrate this, think of a dream. In this dream, there's an elephant in you. So you think, this is me, and that is the elephant. They have the appearance of being two separate entities. However, when you wake up, you realize that both yourself and the elephant were both manifestations of your dreaming consciousness, the source of both this dream and an infinite variety of other possible dream worlds. Another way to picture emptiness is as the page of a book. A page of a book without words can be understood as being emptiness. While the page itself relays no message, there are an infinite variety of words, sentences, and stories that can be placed upon the page. So emptiness can be understood as a field of potential in which every possibility arises from. To begin to understand this, we'll have to redefine our understanding of material reality. We'll then find out that this emptiness, also known as the Tao in Taoism and the Brahman in Hinduism, seems to strongly parallel the concept of the quantum field within quantum physics. Let's first explore the nature of what appears to be material reality. Our reality exhibits a dualistic nature. The matter that makes up what we experience exists both as a wave or non-material entity and a particle or material entity. This waveform that particles exhibit has no definite location within space or time, but can only be understood as being everywhere all at once, spread out through the entire universe. Imagine an apple in your hand. As a particle, this apple exists within a defined location in space and time. For this example, your hand. In its waveform, this apple would not only be in your hand, but spread out through all its possible states. But how can this be? How can something that appears to be solid at the same time have the ability to be something non-solid? And how can something that appears to have a definite location in space and time also be able to exist spread out over a large region of space? As astounding as this may sound, the experiment that confirmed this has been repeated thousands of times with the same result, and what at first came as a shock to the physics community inevitably became a well-known and accepted fact. The thing that determined whether or not particles behave like waves or particles was ultimately found to be the very thing that was observing this phenomenon: human consciousness. A particle's quality is not predetermined, but defined by the very mind that's perceiving it. So what appears to be solid reality is actually just one side of two underlying aspects of reality, that of wave and that of particle. Atoms are 99 with 12 nines after the decimal point, empty space. Again, this forces us to redefine how we see both ourselves and reality. If our bodies and everything around us is mostly empty space, then why do things have the appearance and feel of being solid objects? This feeling of solidity is actually a repulsion or push of other sets of atoms, similar to how magnets will repel each other when two similar sides are put together. Our hands, feet, fingers never really touch anything, but are actually experiencing a repulsive force that gives us the illusion of solidity. Believe it or not, you're not actually physically touching the chair you're sitting in, but rather hovering right above it, as the atoms of your chair and your body repel each other. What really holds everything together and makes reality appear to be solid is a sea of fluctuating energy, not actually anything physical. Not only is your body mostly empty space, but everything you see, experience, and interact with is overwhelmingly empty space.
We will return to this fascinating presentation a little later in the program.
From Snow Patrol, this is their version of John Lennon's Isolation.
Hi, this is Liara Covert, and you're listening to Soul Radio. Notice how you're always creating conditions, and also choosing how to respond to them. That is, every event, every encounter, every experience is unfolding based on a divine plan, a divine curriculum you design for your own soul's growth. Force to the soul, there's no such thing as an obstacle, and adversity doesn't exist, because these are judgments of the mind. And the soul only feels energy vibration, and it senses fluctuations, and it invites you to see everything as an expression of love in action. Of course, it's said that love heals all things, that love can smooth anything over, that if you see through the lens of love, then you only ever see harmony, you only ever see balance, you only ever see a reflection of what you see inside yourself. Yet the mind generates a thought and a perception for every event, and this can have you believe that everything is a bridge to goals and destinations. But do you see your life that way? Or do you see life as a road back to yourself? There are many ways to look at it, aren't there? We're taught it's possible to predict and plan our lives until at some point we teach ourselves otherwise. It's quite a wake-up call to experience those situations where you no longer have control over what's happening. What happens then? Well, the message is to accept the nature of impermanence and recognize that this is one of the biggest soul lessons of all. Time. Time is what you make of it, isn't it? Time is a thought. Time is something we are taught to use to frame our existence. But what happens when you can no longer control time, when you can no longer control the events that are unfolding? It happens when you least expect it. So what do? You surrender to the beauty of wherever you are, and you make the most of it. And from the moment that you integrate another soul lesson, then the situation surrounding it falls away. Can be helpful to reflect a little bit. Give this meditation a go. I let go of everything not divinely designed for me, and the perfect plan easily comes to pass. I must simply let go of my own resistance. I fill that place that nobody else can fill. I am unique. I am a divine co-creator, and I am the only thing that stands in my own way. Every experience invites me to be more receptive to giving and receiving acts of love in all forms. Love is all there is. There is my acceptance of love and my filtering of expressions of love. Receiving the gift of love brings harmony into my life, and resisting love brings something else. Love is the flow and the transformer of all conditions. When you allow it to be. I'm Liara Covert, a galactic traveler, author, and intuitive catalyst for expansion. You can contact me on Facebook or on the Dream Builders Australia blog, or email me at liara@dreambuilders.com.au. Infinite blessings.
I'm Viviana.
I'm Eric von Däniken.
I'm Sue Nicholson.
This is Yvonne Thier Bors.
I'm Liara Covert.
This is Brian Baru.
Hi, my name is Jackie Christie.
Hello, this is Linda.
Hi, this is Lisa
and Trace.
And you're listening to Soul to Soul
on RPPFM.
This is Joni with her inspired writings.
Connect.
How connected are you with your soul's desires? Is there something that lights a fire in your heart? Something that you cannot wait to start? Do you connect with nature? Are you somebody who likes to nurture? Do you find yourself daydreaming about your future? The more you connect with that which brings you joy, the more life seems like a shiny new toy. My mission in this life is to surround myself with the love of family and friends, for I don't want this life to be a series of what might have been. In this life, I would like to experience as many moments as I can of those things that leave my heart feeling full and contentment in my soul. My goal is to get up each time I fall. Mistakes are chances to learn. No need to keep track. I know you have my back. Lessons learned, no need to get burned. Chin up, you will weather these bumps. Stay connected with your heart. That is always a good place to start. Your heart will do its part of leading you out of the dark. Connect with your light and watch this life take flight.
To find out more about Joni, go to facebook.com/inspirationJoniO or see her webpage at joniortbring.wordpress.com or follow the links from the Soul to Soul Facebook page. If you would like to contact us here at Soul to Soul, go to our webpage soul2soulonline.com and click the contact link, or you can email us at s2sonair@gmail.com.
And don't forget to visit and like our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/soul2soulrppfm.
We now return to Where Science and Buddhism Meet.
In quantum physics, we have what's called the quantum field. This is an electromagnetic field in which all matter arises from. The particles that arise from this field are not separate, but are actually different forms of the same system. The field and the matter arising from this field are the same thing. Imagine a turbulent ocean as the field. As waves fluctuate continuously up and down, the very tips of the wave crescents are what matter and our reality arise from. The rest of the sea is out of range of perception, but still exists as potential for matter. So all matter arises and returns from this field, a field that is a continuous medium spread out through all space and time, seemingly paralleling perfectly with the idea of emptiness. From this field arises not only all the particles we perceive, but the very foundations of each and every atom that holds both ourselves and the universe together. The idea of oneness, or interconnectivity in Buddhism, is the idea that everything in the universe is intimately interconnected. The idea that we are separate entities, separate from both each other and the world around us, is considered to be an illusion. The true nature of both ourselves and our reality is that of complete unification, or oneness. Let's see how these ideas parallel with what physics is now telling us.
Part 2 of this fascinating presentation can be heard on Soul to Soul in 2 weeks' time. From Regina Spektor, this is her version of John Lennon's Real Love.
You you're experiencing Soul to Soul on RPPFM.
À toute circonscrit d'une image d'une humanité requiert de son soi de la regarder intimement. On se la regarde quand l'instant de son image ne lui est plus. On se la regarde quand le moment de son prescrit, le lent lui exige. On se la renvoie quand l'espoir d'une humanité s'éveille à des places où l'imagerie de son acquiert le lent lui exige. Alors de ces événements, un la lui recommande que l'espoir de son soi le la lui soit remise. On la lui remet de cette place où l'image de son acquiert la lui est si bien. Elle le la lui exige. Elle le la lui recommande. Alors de ses bien acquises, un le la lui remet. Et de ce remettage, on la lui recommande. Alors, l'humanité est en prise d'avoir de cette place un voltigeur où l'espoir de tous et de son commun cela lui envoie. On se la regarde en son unité. Et de ce vient et de ce va, l'humanité peut se la contempler et peut se la remettre de ce regard et de cette image à qui nous la lui sommes de cette place, de cette histoire. Ou pour tous cela comblé, nous la lui exigeons, nous la lui en sa totalité, le la lui exige. Elle, de ses lui et de ses va et de ses viens, de ses temps et de ses pires, de ses exigences et de cette joie et de ses avoirs et de ses acquis, la lumière de son soi, la lumière de sa somme, de sa totalité, le lent lui exige. Elle, de cela va et de ses viens, la lui recommande, et elle de ce temps et de cette prise en son avoir et en son intimité est maintenant en son acquis et en son avoir de cette grandiosité. Alors nous la lui sommes, nous la lui êtes, en sa somme et ses comblements de ses images et de ses décrits, de ses décennies, de ses centenaires, à qui nous lui avons si bien admise.
A few weeks ago, we spoke to Sue Nicholson about a retreat she was planning in Victor Harbour, South Australia. Well, that retreat starts next week, and we believe that it may not be too late to get on board. Let's quickly revisit what Sue told us about it. Now, one of the things we want to talk about, as far as talking about being on the road, is you're coming over to Victor Harbour in South Australia between November 26th to December 1st on the Healing the Soul Spiritual Retreat. Do you want to tell us a bit about that one?
This will be my first retreat. Well, I actually took a tour over to Egypt 3 years ago, which was amazing. I would love to go back there again. But I thought, people ask me about Australia, so I thought, well, I had my first time in Adelaide recently. It was in May, I think it was. And then I thought, I'm going to do a retreat. So I'm really looking forward to it. So it's 10 full days with me. And, you know, having so much fun, laughter, and just healing the soul, working with people, showing them the basic of things that we work on. So we have lots of fun, laughter. There probably will be tears because I will take them to the other side. I have to bring them back, though, yeah. You know, because they can't stay over there. You know? Because it's so peaceful and they see, you know, their loved ones and get messages and things like that. So they just want to sit there in the Garden of Remembrance and chill out, but I have to call them back in, you know. So it's like children going out to play and enjoying themselves so much. Yeah, time to come in now. You've got to come back into the house, you know. So that's going to be amazing.
So that's really the biggest difference between seeing one of your stage shows and going to a retreat is that people can really absorb themselves in the full experience.
And they get in, you know, full days with me all the time. I'm very social as well because, you know, when we have meals, we're all sitting together and I don't isolate myself off like some people do, you know. They just want quiet to center themselves. No, I'm full on. It's like, yeah, come on. No, it's like, wow. So, you know, we'll be having fun at night as well and different things. So we have it planned, but then Spirit will say, come on, we'll go and do this. You know, we're going to do some lovely meditation walk along the beach, you know. So they'll split up, go by themselves, and I'll put them into a meditation. As long as they don't walk into the sea, you know. So, you know, and then I come back, I'll give them exercises to do, things like that. So sometimes we have it planned, but then Spirit will go, right, you know, Spirit's teaching me as well as teaching them. I bring different things in. So we have the basics, but then new things are coming in as well. So, which is really, really good.
I also notice as part of what people receive going to the retreat, they get like a little goodie bag with your angel cards and things like that in there.
But yeah, they're my angel cards. Yeah, so with the pack, they're very, very different to any other cards, right? Because they deal with, it's like we have working with the chakra energies, okay? So there's 7 chakras in the body. And in the chakras, we have, you know, go from the base chakra to the crown chakra. There are 7 cards in each color. And in each color, there are 2 major and 5 minor. So there's the angel card and the guardian card. So, you know, when you're shuffling them and the guardians are coming out, the guardians are your guides and your loved ones and your angels, you know, over you. So they're the major ones. But also you've got the book where on the corner, you'll know it's a major card because a book's open with a butterfly. So that is a teaching. They're trying to teach you the situation regarding that card and they're following cards around it. So they're very, very simple to use and work with and amazing. People get so amazing answers. They can't believe it's like, wow, you know, so I'll send you a box anyway.
Oh, that'd be lovely. Thank you. They sound fascinating. Yeah, we'd love to explore that. Those goodies, I'm assuming that they get in their goodie bag, are things that they can find useful during the retreat, yes?
Yeah, that's right. We're working with them in the retreat and really showing them how to work with what's in that bag. So I'd like to show people, to me, I don't want it so that I want everybody to understand the basics, right? It's not rocket science or anything like that because sometimes I'm very down to earth and very, you know, I like to see things simple. You know, I don't like it when you're being taught and it's so confusing and it's like, oh, and you get lost. So every step of the way, I am helping them, right? I'm there, hands on. Mm. And the biggest thing I say to people as soon as we meet, I go, right, we are all equal here. I'm no higher than you, okay? I learn from you and you learn from me. We're all equal here and we're all, you know, going to work together. And that's how it works. If there's any problems, you know, I help them. And, you know, I've had people say, I can't do this. And I say, turn it around. I can do this.
Yeah.
And I change the words because the thing is, the brain hears the word, you know, what you're saying, I can't. And I say, I can, I will, and I am. And when I'm working with them with psychometry and they go, you know, it's all hands on because a workshop is hands on, not me talking all day because I like people to work. That's a thing.
Yeah.
And I'm supervising them as well. And lots of sharing, you know, having a partner, feeling the energy. And I say to them, we like moving around so you don't have the same energy with the same person for days on end. Mm. And so we do that. So we're getting to know people as well. And also it gives people confidence. If you're working with the same person for a lot of days, you know, if you want to go out and do the work, you've got to be confident in meeting so many different people.
Yes.
Because everybody's different. And it's giving them the confidence. So, you know, helping them with that. One lady said to me once, I can't see anything. I'm not getting anything. So I said, okay, just close your eyes. And I touched her third eye, okay? And I said, just say and repeat after me, I see clearly. Everything I see, you know, spirit is bringing to me for this lady. Boom, she started to see it. The words and repeating it.
Yeah.
She goes, wow. And the woman said, yes, that's right. You've got that right for me. So, yeah, it's all about how we talk about ourselves and how we, you know, phrase it really.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a really exciting get-together there, retreat there, and I think the people that come along will get a lot of value out of this and learn a lot about themselves.
It's just lovely. And then we're meeting new friends as well, and those friendships can last forever in doing that.
Sue Nicholson, you are on a roll. There's no doubt about that.
Stars are in my favour, I think. Yeah, coming up. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, we look forward to seeing you out here again and every success with all these various projects and good luck with the cases over there for the police as well.
Yeah, so it's going to be quite interesting, because I've done Sensi murder here.
Yes.
About 14 cases, you know. I feel like this one in Adelaide is going to be easier than the, you know, what I was doing here in New Zealand. It was very hard here. They put you right through it.
Yes, we saw.
Because I've done so much. So, yeah, I'm okay with that. Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah.
Fantastic. It's always great talking with you, Sue. We look forward to it again soon.
Okay. God bless.
You too.
And you have the rest of your day. Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
For more details on Sue's tours and retreat, head to suenicholson.co.nz or follow the links from the Soul to Soul Facebook page.
Hello, I'm Matt Adams. Please join me next week for a very special episode of Soul to Soul, where as special guest host, I guide you through the world of mediumship.
From John Lennon, this is his version of Give Peace a Chance.
Well, that's all we have for this installment of Soul to Soul.
To find links for the content of today's program and to explore bonus material, go to and like the Soul to Soul Facebook page.
To find us on Facebook, just type Soul 2, the number 2, not the word 2, Soul, RPPFM, into the Facebook browser.
And don't forget to visit our Vimeo page, which is vimeo.com/soul-to-soul.
Until next, we entangle.
Namaste.
The divine in us salutes.
The divine in you all. Oh.